Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, you would have to stretch really hard to find commonalities among the four theatrical pieces I attended this week. It was a somber retelling of one of New York City's most tragic events, an all-hip-hop downtown musical that has nothing to do with the Founding Fathers, an old-fashioned radio show that is periodically performed in theater spaces around town, and a drama about war written and directed by women. Yes, it was yet another only in New York, off and off Broadway kind of weeks. The venues alone are of all varieties. The Shetler Studios on West 56th Street is a site of numerous auditions every day, where dreamers with stars in their eyes wait hours, memorizing their scripts, to get just a few minutes to show off their acting, singing, and dancing skills. Well, it turns out there are a few larger rooms inside the Shetler that are used as stages, including Theater 54. And that is where Deborah Whitfield's play Fire has been performing. This one deals with the tragedy inside the Triangle Waste Factory, where the horrid conditions in March of 1911 led to the deaths of 146 primarily female workers. It's almost too painful to even recall that incident, and frankly, a musical called Rags made it somewhat more palatable. But Fire is nicely performed by eight actors who cover the bases of the good guys and bad. Whitfield's script goes back and forth in time, including the courtroom where the final poor decisions were made. The non-chronological style tends to break up the tense apprehension, but maybe that's the point. Meanwhile, down in Tribeca, at the attractive new home of the Fleet Theater, a totally different kind of show is pleasing audiences, at least those who know in advance what they will be seeing and hearing. Sinking Ink is a 2.5-hour piece written by, now I'm sure I'm pronouncing this wrong, Nsengu Nikam, who also plays the lead character, an incoming student in a high school peopled by the usual types, the ego-filled bully, the sexy babe, the outspoken feminist, and so on. They have names like Ice Cold and Sweet Tea and Mona Lisa. The action in the first act takes place in an English class where the student's first assignment is to create a haiku. The act concludes with a rap challenge at lunchtime, today's version of the Rumble. Act two has moved the students along in grades. The seven performers make their characters completely distinct. The rapping is excellent, as are the dance moves. The audience sits in the round, which works well. There is some immersive call and response stuff even before the show officially begins, during which they remind you to think party more than play. Yes, it's not traditional theater by any means, but it is clever and seemingly resonant. The day I went, a large group from an Jersey City High School was in attendance, and they laughed and cheered all the way through. Lines like hashtag Jurassic Park and white rappers make my stomach hurt got roars. Such is a generation of theatergoers, perhaps born, if not totally hooked. By the way, both those shows are playing another week at least. Now, on to 59 East 59 Theaters, where Occupied Territories is just opening and selling tickets briskly. Well, if you haven't been immersed in Vietnam lately, personally, I watched the Ken Burns documentary series and just visited an extensive exhibit at the New York Historical Society, well, then this may be a show for you. Though it's a rather harrowing, sometimes confusing, and not particularly illuminating one that ricochets between a platoon of soldiers on duty and a family of women at home, either in the present or future. The piece is written by Nancy Bannon and directed by Molly Maxner and features a surprisingly large cast of 10. Large considering this is a tiny venue and the single row audience sits surrounding the stage. The play comes from the Theater Alliance of Washington, D.C. It's not must see by any means, but if you must see, at least you will hear one of the soldiers ask, "This is not for nothing, right?" Well, any war story that asks that question can't be all bad. Finally, In Your Face New York is yet another edition of Martin Sage's radio show, which performs at different venues around the city. and always features a variety of city's unique voices. This one, this week, was at Merkin Concert Hall, and its highlights were host Mo Rocca and special guest artist Judy Kuhn. She performed a hilarious aria about Trump, what else? And the two did a memorable duet about, well, I can't remember, but I know it was clever. In Your Face is seeking its, pardon the expression, voice, with the hopes of becoming a sort of prairie home companion of the East Coast. The next installment will be in December. Well, the moral of this week's report is that while Broadway is at a stalled and not particularly exciting point right now, there are countless other creative ways to experience theater. A show called K-Pop, for example, has just had a nice run at the ART Theaters on West 53rd. It was an immersive experience co-produced by the Woodshed Collective and Ars Nova. Like Sinking Ink, it is a whole new brand of musical experience, and both may try to make the leap to Broadway. Well, after Hamilton, it is assumed anything is possible. Now, if you can get yourself to something called the Bushwick Star, spelled S-T-A-R-R, an unusual one-woman show called Animal Wisdom is winning strong reviews. A Southern-born singer, songwriter, storyteller, and pianist named Heather Christian is doing some serious talking to ghosts in what is part seance, part exorcism, part requiem. This coming week, I will be seeing three more off-Broadway plays, including one at Lincoln Center's smallest venue and one at the iconic Cherry Lane Theater. And the big names don't ignore the small spaces, by the way. The show at Lincoln Center is written by actress Zoe Kazan. Seinfeld's Jason Alexander is about to open in a John Patrick Shanley piece at City Center's Stage 1. And for those who have a lot of time, not to mention stamina, there is Strange Interlude, Eugene O'Neill's opus, in which an actor named David Greenspan is playing all nine roles over 6 hours. Well, I'll be skipping that one, Jill, but I look forward to hearing from the brave souls who did that.
All right, so how long before Broadway perks up? What are people excited about? Can you tell?
Well, the next two, I would say, are Junk at Lincoln Center's bigger stage, which qualifies as Broadway, by Ayad Akhtar. That opens, I think, in about 2 weeks. These are all in previews now.
Okay.
I don't see them when they're in previews because I want them to lock their shows in, of course. And the other one, I guess, is M. Butterfly, which does open soon with Clive Owen. So that's a revival, of course, been rewritten a bit. As far as I know, those are the two that I'm hearing about on Broadway next spring. Of course, all these other things come back, as we've talked about, you know, the My Fair Ladies and the carousels and all that. I'm sure there are other things that I'm not. Well, there's the Steve Martin play. We've talked about that. Are people excited about it? I don't know. I'm not hearing a lot of buzz. It's a play that's very old, been redone over and over in different cities, but it's got a starry cast. So I'm sure there are people excited about seeing Amy Schumer on Broadway. I know. It just feels a little stalled right now.
All right. And what about The Band's Visit? Anything on that?
Yeah, that's the other one. That's the other one, of course. And I'm hearing mixed about it. I loved it off-Broadway. Everybody loved it off-Broadway. And I keep telling people, lower your expectations just a little. It's a small show going into a big theater. Yes, that is one of the three that open shortly. And I'll be curious to see how that does. I hope it does well. It's timely. It's, you know, Israel and Egypt, but very different from something like Oslo. This is a small town in Israel, where an Egyptian band accidentally finds himself. And so it's a quiet, quaint, lovely piece based on an independent movie. You know, I was thinking of independent movies. That's really what all this off-Broadway stuff feels like to me. It's the theatrical version of indies.
Right, which is absolutely wonderful. The main thrust of indies all along, though, was originality,
right.
And there just seems, just as in car design, vehicle design, you know, there's just, we've come through a patch of absolute sameness,
yes.
Where The sameness is celebrated more than differences, which I don't know quite what that does to the whole creative process and
it's so rare when you see something really original. That's why Hamilton, obviously, when it came, it just blew the roof off because it was so different, so original.
But when you have to say something like "so original," which is wonderful, by the way.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that get everybody? Shouldn't that get people's competitive juices flowing a bit more?
I certainly hope so. And yet, you look at what's coming in the spring, and most of the shows are based on old movies. I guess adding music to Mean Girls and Pretty Woman makes them somewhat original, but I don't know. I think to find those really original voices, you got to go not only off Broadway, you got to go to other cities where they are doing them. The stuff is coming from those cities. And that's where the new voices, unfortunately, are coming from. Maybe not unfortunately. It's exciting for those cities.
I'm going to just go, it used to be, and I'm sorry, this is not waxing nostalgic, like, oh yeah, it was wonderful to walk to school with rags on your feet for 40 miles one way. But it's you've got to have the time and the place to build it and create it. And if Broadway is the big time, so to speak, then you've got to work your way. I mean, it's not irrational to want to work your way up to there. And if this is creating a better sense, overused word here, of process and what it takes to get there from here, well, then mazel tov.
That's right. And people don't even realize how long it takes to get. Even these little off-Broadway things have been through, 50 readings and 50 rewrites. So, and the idea of getting to the big place, but getting a show on Broadway is so complicated now. It's like making a studio film. You just need so much money, and that's why you're losing some of those really independent small voices, not small in that way, but quieter voices. That's why it's really interesting to watch a show like Band's Visit. I think that's a real test case for us. It's yet another one of these shows that did really well off Broadway, and then they get excited and think, oh, so we're going to move it, we can get the financing, but we'll see. And I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not sure they're the kind of shows people coming in from out of town want to see. I don't know. But word of mouth is still kind of the final decision maker.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.